Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
The thing about people who have families that are missing is the grief never goes away. You never have closure, so you just keep going through it. So you get to a point where you're just angry.
When I say that she's a household name, the reason I say that is she's literally a household name. You know, at my house, and, you know, this is one of the first big cases that, you know, for this area, for this magnitude, that really happened. And, you know, we investigate a lot of homicides. We investigate a lot of different crimes. But for a missing person case, and I've always been the belief that a missing person case, especially with the circumstances that I have, it should be treated just like a homicide case. You should document everything just as you would if there was a body laying in the middle of the road and you possibly had a suspect. And there's no doubt that, you know, in this day and time, law enforcement is scrutinized about everything. That's tough for me because I know that I, as well as the guys that sit around me each day in the office I work in, we strive to do the best we can and we follow up on these cases. And we take efforts to look back at older missing person cases. You know, unfortunately, those sometimes haunt police agencies and families for years.
Hello, and welcome to episode 71 of The Vanished. 18-year-old Brooklyn Farthing was last seen in the early morning hours of June 22, 2013, at a home in Berea, Kentucky. Brooke had been at a party the night before and didn't get a ride home with the friends that she had planned to ride home with. Later that morning, she ended up alone at another home with a man who had been at the party. She was texting friends and family asking for a ride home. Shortly before she disappeared, she sent texts indicating that she was scared. The home that she was at suspiciously caught fire that morning, and Brooke was nowhere to be found. This is Brooke's story.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices and audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
Do you ever look back on your teen years and thank your lucky stars that you've made it this far because of some of the situations you found yourself in back then? I know that I do. When I think back, I was far too trusting and never expected the worst from people. When I was looking into Brooke's story, it seemed like a situation that could have happened to me or any of my friends when we were young. Brooke wasn't a troublemaker. She just happened to be at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong person. Brooke has been described as sweet and spunky. She loved animals and the outdoors. On the evening of June 21st, she had planned to go to a party with some friends. I spoke to Brooke's older sister, Tasha, who explained how these plans that Brooke made didn't quite turn out as intended, which left her having to catch a ride with someone that she may not have known so well.
Brooke went missing on June 22nd, 2013. She had been at a party the evening before. My sister and cousin dropped her off. They stayed there for a little while. It was one of her friend's birthday parties. From there, her and one of her friends that she was supposed to be spending the night with kind of got into a small argument, and she decided that she didn't want to go to her house anymore. She was just going to catch a ride home. So she catches a ride with two other guys that were friends of hers. One of them, however, her family, we lived in the Red, or they lived, I didn't, but they lived in the Red Lake area before, so we were kind of familiar with all the people down there. It's a close-knit community. But one of the guys, he says that he has known Brooke for 2 to 3 years, but we've never heard of him, but her friends and stuff have. So I guess she felt comfortable enough to leave with these two people. So she leaves around about 2 a.m. from this party. From there, it was told that they went to a farm on Floyd Branch Road to ride horses. From there, they left and they took one of the guys home that had been drinking. They took him home. And then from there, they went back to the other male's house on Dilling Court. The house on Dilling Court did not have running water. It did not have electricity. So when she got there, it was around, say, about 4 o'clock in the morning. She called my little sister, Paige, and asked her if our cousin could come pick her up. My cousin had been drinking, so she was unable to come pick her up, but she spoke with Paige and told her that was fine. Her ex-boyfriend, Jared, would be coming to pick her up once he got off of work. He worked at a factory. He should be off about 6:30, and that she could go on and lock the door, but listen for her when she got there to unlock it. Paige said that she seemed like she was in her right mind. It didn't seem like she was drinking or that she was scared of anything. It was just a normal conversation of trying to get a ride home, and everybody was impaired that could have came and got her. But she didn't want Mom to come get her, because Paige was like, well, you want me to go wake up Mom? I can have her come get you. And she's like, no, it's fine. I'll just wait here for Jared. It was about 2 more hours before he got off. So, in that time, after that, Brooke sent many text messages to other friends of hers and her ex-boyfriend, saying that she was scared, she was uncomfortable, she didn't really want to be there, hurry up and come get her, things to that nature. So her ex-boyfriend said, I'll be there as soon as I get off. So about 5:45-ish, he gets a text message from Brooke saying that she's going to a party in Rockcastle County and that he didn't need to come get her. He answered that text by saying who with, and she never responded back. That was the last text from her at all. There's been no parties. We've talked to multiple people. The detectives have searched for this so-called party and stuff. There's no party going on that we're aware of, that we can find, anything like that. So we really don't think that text message came from her. It was kind of odd that, she was texting all these other people just trying to find a ride home, wanting to be home. She had plans for the next day. She was tired. She just wanted to get home. And she was kind of uncomfortable at the place she was at for her to send that and say, I'm going to this party that nobody knows about at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was kind of just odd. So the guy who is there with her says that he left to put the horses back up. And when he returned home, the house was on fire.
So this guy, his name is Josh, by the way. If you're curious, it's pretty easy to find his full name online. He said that he went to tend horses and came back to find the house on fire. Now, remember, this house had no running water or electricity. So how does a fire start in a home with no electricity? Tasha explained to me the extent of the damage caused by the fire that morning.
In the living room, it just left. There was a hole burnt into the floor. It did a lot of smoke damage. As the pictures you can see on the internet, you can pull them up, that it was around that couch. That was the main thing that really got destroyed, was that couch. We, as her family, have always stressed, well, something must have been on that couch, something of importance that we needed probably to solve this case is on that couch that has been destroyed. I mean, there was really nothing left but the frame.
Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, remember that at this point, no one even realizes that Brooke is missing yet. Tasha explained to me how her family came to learn that Brooke had disappeared, and her conversations with the last known person to see her sister.
The day after, once we realized that Brooke was missing, my sister called, and she was like, we can't find Brooke. Her friends are looking for her, because she was supposed to go to a car show that morning at 9 or 10 o'clock in Somerset. So her friends have been looking for her, calling. They can't get a hold of her. They're calling Paige. Paige knows that she was supposed to come home that morning, but she wasn't there. So by that evening, about 1:30, 2 o'clock, we're all super worried by then. They call me and they're like, we can't find her. We've called everywhere we know to call. We've looked. We went here. We went to this house and that house. We can't find her. Have you all heard from her? And of course we hadn't. So then we start the phone calls. And so I asked my little sister Paige, I'm like, well, whose house was she at? And she gives me Josh's name and says she was here with him. And I'm like, do you even know this person? And she's like, no, I don't know him. And I'm like, okay, can you get a phone number from me? And she's like, yeah, maybe. Hold on. Let me call her friend Teddy to see if she has his phone number. So we call her. She gives us the phone number. And I call him and I'm like, hey, we were told that my sister was at your house last night from a party. Is she still there? Do you know where she's at? Have you heard from her? Is she there passed out? Is she asleep? Do you know what's going on? And he proceeds to tell me that, yes, Brooke had been there. And I was like, well, how do you even know her? And he's like, well, I'm friends and family with her ex-boyfriend, Jared, and I've known Brooke for probably 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, okay, we've just never heard of your name before. And he goes on and, yeah, and no, I haven't seen her. I heard her talking about maybe a party in Rockcastle County that she was going to. I'm like, well, do you know where this party is? Do you know anybody who was there? Do you know who came and picked her up from your house to take her there? And he's like, no, I'm sorry. I felt uncomfortable at the house because Brooke and Jared had dated. So I left to put the horses up. That was pretty much the gist of that phone conversation. And I was like, okay, that's fine. If we don't find her in the next little bit, or if you could call anybody and find, you know, where the party was or anything like that, let us know. But if we haven't heard from her in a little bit, we'll probably be contacting the police. I went on to say my husband was the detective at the sheriff's department and that we were all looking for her because we couldn't find her and she was answering her phone. So that phone call ended. We all still was kind of like, well, maybe she's at this party, maybe she's went here, maybe she's got drunk and she's passed out and she's just not answering her phone, or maybe her phone's dead and so forth and so on. And we go on about our daily business while we're doing that. Me and my family was getting ready to go to the lake. So we get to the Shell station, which is about 5 minutes away from where we lived at the time. And when we get there, I receive this phone call back from him. And he's like, I am just super nervous. And I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, I'm just so worried. And so I'm just so nervous. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And he's like, well, all of Brooke's stuff is still here. So I'm like, what do you mean her stuff's still there? And if anybody can tell you about my sister, she's very protective of her stuff. She kind of won't leave it sitting around. She doesn't want you going through it. She's been that way since she was a little kid. Like, her stuff was her stuff. She keeps it with her nonstop. That's just the kind of person she was. I could see her maybe leaving the suitcase of clothes there, but not her purse and stuff like that. I mean, if she was in one room in my house and she went to the next room, she would take that purse with her. I mean, that was just how she was, and she's always been that way. So I'm like, well, what kind of stuff is it? You know, like, can you look through it? Is it her purse? Is it her bag? What is it? Is there a phone in there? Maybe that's why she's not answering. Maybe it's still, she's left it there. Could you look through it or anything like that? And he's like, no, I'm looking at it through a hole in my window. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, my house was caught on fire last night. And I was like, what do you mean your house caught on fire? And then he was like, well, I don't know if Brooke done it or if her cigarette dropped or she done it or what. But when I came back from putting the horse up, my house was on fire. Immediately, like, we're freaking out at this point. We're calling 911 to see if there was any calls to the police station, if there was any fire department had came, what they thought, and all this stuff. I mean, it was just, like, craziness there for a little bit. And us just trying to call her and call her and call her and no answer. And that was pretty much the last time that we spoke to him. My husband spoke to him later.
I would like to clarify one thing so no one gets confused here. Brooke had been texting her ex, Jared, to come pick her up. They were still friends, and he worked an overnight shift. He'd offered to come get her when his shift was over that morning. He's the last person to receive a text from her phone that morning, the text that said she was going to a party in another county. Josh's story is that he felt uncomfortable being there when Jared came to pick her up, so he went to tend to his horses, and when he came back, the house was on fire and Brooke was gone. We know that Brooke's belongings were left behind at Josh's house, but not everything was there.
Her and her phone is what is missing. It wasn't there. If she left to go anywhere, she went without her shoes because her shoes were still on the front porch.
Location data from Brooke's phone could possibly hold the key to finding her.
Her phone rang for two to three days, I want to say, after they tried to pinpoint the location of it, and you get like a 3 mile radius around the Blue Lick cell tower is what they keep telling us to, if we wanted to search, that we could search in that radius.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's zocdoc.com/vanished. Zocdoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
This area that Brooke's phone was pinging from is very close to where she was last seen. The problem, though, is that this area is very challenging to search.
There's been extensive searches. The thing about searching down in there where it's at, it's just very a wooded area, very dense woods, cliffs and rocks and sinkholes, and you have, of course, your copperheads and your rattlesnakes and any of that up and through there. It's just very, very dense wood. Don't get me wrong, we still search to this day, but it's just so thick without a lot of help. It's really hard to cover as much area there is to cover because there's more woods than there is of people living or flatland or anything like that. It's hills and mountains and rocks and cliffs, and it's just really dense. We do our best to try to pick an area, we think, and we'll search through it really good. But, I mean, even we're coming up on the four-year anniversary and probably not even half of it has been covered. To do what we need done, it would take hundreds of people and probably at least a good month to search everything that we need searched. And it would have to be trained individuals who know what they're looking for. Just your average citizen going out there in the woods thinking they're going to find something. It's been so long now that you would have to know what you're looking for in order to do that. In the very beginning, they did a very extensive search. They've covered thousands of acres. If they get a good tip, they'll still go search. Like I said, it's just so much and so time consuming. And unless it's someone saying you should really search here, their hands are tied.
I asked if Josh had been willing to speak with law enforcement regarding Brooke's case.
He has spoken with them on multiple occasions. As far as I know, if they need to talk to him, he still talks. That's about all I know.
Tasha explained to me how frustrating it can be from the perspective of the family of a missing person.
You just feel like victims don't have any rights anymore. Criminals, they have all kinds of rights. But a victim's family, right? You ask, well, why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? Well, we can't because it breaks something. The thing about people who have families that are missing is the grief never goes away. You constantly, it's just, you go through it and then you go through it again. You never have closure, so you just keep going through it. So you get to a point where you're just angry. And I think that's where we're all right at right now, because we're like, it's so obvious, but there's nothing we can do about it.
I can only imagine how difficult it must be to have a missing loved one and to know that the person responsible for their disappearance is still out there walking around. Not only do they have the freedom that was taken away from your family member, but they could also harm somebody else.
Luckily, all of us live in Richmond, and I think he's still located in the Berea area, so we're not over there that much. But yes, we still have friends and family over there that do say that they see him and stuff.
When you go back and look at the timeline leading up to Brooke's disappearance, it isn't difficult to come to a conclusion about what most likely happened in the early morning hours of June 22, 2013. Brooke left this party around 2 a.m. with two guys. They went and rode horses and then dropped the one guy off at his house. So this left Brooke alone with Josh. Around 4 a.m., he took her back to his house on Dillon Court that had no running water or electricity. She called her little sister, trying to get a ride, but their cousin had been drinking and was too impaired to drive. Everything seemed fine at this point during this phone call, and Brooke was willing to wait for her ex-boyfriend to get off of work at 6:30 a.m. It's only after this call that things seem to take a turn, and Brooke starts texting her friends and ex-boyfriend saying she's scared and uncomfortable. At 5:45 a.m., her ex-boyfriend, who was due to pick her up in about an hour, gets this suspicious text saying that she's going to a party in another county. He asked who she was going with and never got a response. Josh has an alibi for himself, saying he knew Brooke's ex-boyfriend was coming to pick her up, and he was uncomfortable being there, so he left to tend some horses. And when he got back, the house was on fire. He places the blame on Brooke, saying that she was smoking on the couch when he left. But this is also when Brooke disappears along with her phone, which continued to ring for a couple days and ping off of a cell tower several miles away. I attempted to get a statement from Josh. I called, emailed, messaged him on social media, but he obviously isn't interested in speaking with me about Brooke's disappearance. I knew that those of you listening would be alarmed by the fact that the last person to see Brooke is still out there, and I wanted to speak with law enforcement to get an idea of what kind of struggles they have faced with her case and similar cases. I spoke to Detective Keaton from the Kentucky State Police about the difficulties they have faced while working on Brooke's case. The first thing that I asked him was about that fire. We heard from Tasha that the fire was located in one room and destroyed the couch and did some damage to the floor. I was interested in finding out if the cause of this fire had ever been determined.
What I can tell you about that is, obviously, you know, the state police, we have an arson investigator that was called in. He actually was called prior to the state police being called in reference to the missed person case. But, yeah, I mean, he has looked into that fire. I can't go into much detail about that, obviously, because it's still an open investigation. And anytime you're working a case like this, I mean, you don't want to. There was a lot of things that was released early on within the, you know, the public and the general media that, you know, sometimes as investigators, we'd like to keep a little more quiet because, I mean, when you're dealing with different suspects and multiple suspects or possible suspects, you know, you don't want them to know everything prior to you coming and knocking on their door. So, but no, the fire has been looked at very closely. The arson investigator has obviously been on board since the beginning. And that's a discussion we have quite often, so.
You know how occasionally you'll see an article about a missing person who was found alive sometime after their disappearance? I'm talking about the people who made the decision to walk away from their own lives. Detective Keaton explained how these cases make a case like Brooke's difficult to prove.
There are so many cases that happen every day in this country, and it's almost like we see women go missing every day. I watch a lot of those cases, and when these cases are solved across the United States, you know, I take an interest and I reach out to that local jurisdiction that investigated that case, and I always ask them, you know, what did you do different than what I'm doing here on this case? Because we're a small community in central Kentucky, and this case is really important. But at the same time, we're always looking outside the box to figure out, you know, how can we prove what happened? Sometimes with missing person cases, and it's a difficult challenge because whenever you deal with missing person cases and then these people show up 20 years later or 10 years later or 5 years later, alive and well, living in another state, you know, that is an issue. And especially when you have a limited crime scene, you know, when you have a missing person, but you have no real proof that, you know, where are they at? And then, so it's a dual investigation. You're trying to figure out what exactly happened to them. but also you're trying to prove that they didn't walk away from their life. And in this situation, I don't believe that's the case at all. I don't believe that Brooke wanted to leave, had planned to leave. She'd made plans for the next day, and she had those plans worked out the next day to go and enjoy the day with some friends. But it's a really a difficult task to show that, hey, she just didn't walk away from her life. She wasn't married. She didn't have any pending divorces. She didn't have any financial issues. That's just not the case with this situation. But it is an uphill battle for investigators to investigate missing person cases, because you have women that go missing occasionally, or people that go missing, and then a few weeks later they show up and you figure out, well, they just needed a few weeks away from real life. Well, that's just not the case in this situation. I don't believe it to be.
Even though Brooke has been missing for almost 4 years now, they are still actively working her case.
And I've had this conversation with Brooke's family and, you know, with others. You know, the most important thing is giving them closure. Good or bad, the most important thing for us as the state police in Kentucky is to give, is number one, give that family closure, find answers for Brooke, and also prosecute that case. And if someone's done something wrong to her, then that's our job as investigators and detectives of the state police to make sure that justice is sought, and, you know, working with our local Commonwealth Attorney's Office to make sure that person is brought forth. And that's the thing we've been doing since day one, is trying to, you know, figure out exactly what happened to her. And some days and some weeks, you know, a case is never far from our local post area. You know, everybody here knows everybody. You know, we're constantly following up on leads. We get tips via the email for the website for the state police. We actively monitor a Facebook page for Brooke, as well as an independent website for Brooke.
You heard Tasha mention earlier how difficult that area is to search. Detective Keaton explained this to me in greater detail.
It's a vast, open, wooded area. I mean, you've got thousands of acres of wooded forest. You know, we always say that it's uphill both ways, but in the state of Kentucky, I mean, we have these areas that are just steep. When this first happened, you know, we brought in a cadet class from the state police, and we searched the areas that we would want to focus on. In the following weeks, we done a follow-up search, the same area. But it is a very difficult area. I was just out yesterday on a follow-up tip, same thing. You know, it's just the family had called, and it's an area that's secluded, and there's roadways that go and link back into each other, and there's not good cell phone coverage. And, you know, when you're this day and time, everybody's got a cell phone, and when you look at these cases, you know, that comes into play. Even back in 2013, when she first went missing, that was an issue for that area. So those are all things that we've looked at, but the area itself is just really steep, wooded, and heavily dense in some parts. And then on top of that, we have multiple bodies of water that are spread throughout. And the thing of it with this area, I mean, you can drive 20 foot down the road and there'll be a drop off over the hill. So if I placed or threw something there without, you know, without a hunter or someone walking up on it or discovering, I mean, it's a difficult area to search. But, you know, and that's one of the things we focus on. We focus on those roadway searches right after that, both sides. We focus on the areas of where we thought that would be best ideal that we should search at the time. And we continue to do those searches, obviously on a more small scale, but when someone calls in with a lead or a tip or a clandestine grave or anything like that, you know, a few of the detectives or myself will go out there and take a look, because we are always wanting that answer. And we always think that, hey, the next hunting season or the next little bit, someone's going to call with some credible information, and we're going to give this family some closure that they so much deserve.
One question that I had, since I'm not from the area, is how far the search area was from the home on Dillon Court that Brooke was last seen at.
If you drop the house right in the center, I mean, there's just a vast wooded area, and people live out there, and there's little pockets of community spread out within the roadways, down the roadways. But as far as it being a long driving distance, that's just not the case. It's very close by and accessible to that residence and the roadway itself. in 2013, we focused on that. You know, we looked at a radius around that residence, a certain mile point, and we tried to focus everything we could in those general areas that would be close by. Because you're right. I mean, you have people go missing and then there's all these searches. And then a few years later, someone discovers some bones laying next to the highway. And it goes back to the fact is that you can literally drive out through there, drop something off the edge of the road, and without walking up on it, you'll never see it. And that, and you can do that anywhere, but in this area, it would be so much easier. It's not like going down I-75 or one of the interstate systems in the United States and dropping someone where they actively have people cleaning the roadways. These are areas that have drop-offs, cliffs and caves and sinkholes and you name it, we've seen it. You name it, we've searched it. We've lowered people down into abandoned well systems, sheds. People call and they find things in their backyard. And the state police was really focused from the beginning on the fact that, you know, we need property owners involved. And we sent out media requests and asked everyone to search their properties, because who better knows if there's something wrong than the property owner who was walking by and noticed some unearthed dirt or something like that that wasn't there a week ago. So, I mean, we've had a lot of those calls over the years. Most of them leads to dead ends and some leads to other crimes that we've had to investigate. But at the same time, you know, we're not going to give up on finding Brooke. And, you know, our primary goal is to give that family closure.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
I wondered if Brooke's case could be solved with a tip that could come from someone who may have been driving out there on the morning of the 22nd. Could the key to finding Brooke be locked in someone's memory?
That's possible. And I think we fielded a few calls like that, because we would get calls that I saw this vehicle on the side of this road at this time. And then when we get really looking back into it, it was the day before or the day after. And, you know, obviously, when she first went missing on that Friday, she went to the party on Friday evening. The house fire is roughly around 7 a.m. the next morning on Saturday morning. The state police never received a call as far as a reference to a missing person until late Sunday afternoon. So we were sort of behind the, what I would say is behind the eight ball coming into the game as far as, you know, the stuff that we'd like to do whenever we first get one of these cases. You know, things that we want to secure, things that we want to document from the get-go. Because the fire department responded to the residents and treated it just as that, as a house fire.
One thing that I've noticed since starting this show is that people get very frustrated when law enforcement doesn't release a lot of details about a case. Detective Keaton explained why this is sometimes important to protect the integrity of a case.
I'm not going to be able to talk about some things that I would not release. Like I said, it's an active investigation, and I've got to look down the road to the fact that someday someone's maybe held accountable for this, and we find her, and we give the family closure, we end up charging someone. You know, I've got to prepare for the fact that anything I do now could affect that trial later on, and, you know, I've got to remember that.
In my research, I've noticed that these small-town cases really fuel the rumor mill, and Brooke's case was no exception. I saw a lot of rumors on internet forums like Topics.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you have especially an 18-year-old female that go missing, and in this area especially, I mean, in central Kentucky, I mean, this seems to be a topic of a lot of conversation, holidays, and, you know, with this family, she came from a large family, a large close-knit family, and good people. And whenever you're dealing with someone like that, you know, everybody in the community knows the family, and they hear stuff, and they give them information, or they mention things they hear from them. And, you know, it's our job to follow up on that. And so I encourage anyone that may have information to call the state police, give us that information, let us check it out. But you're exactly right. Anytime that you have a female or a person go missing in a small town, there's always that rumor mill. So. And she's just not another face in the crowd. If you drive around, you know, in our community, you see bumper stickers. You see, we've had local businesses put up billboards. You know, that she's still got a billboard hanging out off one of the main highways here. So, I mean, people know who she is. I mean, like I said, she's become a household name. And it's constantly discussed, especially with the state police and our office. I mean, it's every couple of days we'll get a call, or a week or so will go by and someone will call and say something. And, you know, that's the stuff we're always following up on. So we encourage anyone to call that may have anything to provide to us. We're more willing to take that information. There is still a reward available. Currently it's $14,000, and I anticipate maybe someday that raising up, but right now, you know, it's $14,000, but doing the right thing shouldn't be about the money. So if someone has information, we would like for them to call and give us some insight. We don't really need their names, but we do need some factual information that we can confirm. You know, we do get a lot of calls, and people don't really, they're providing rumors, and rumors are really tough to prove. So, you know, we have to follow up on factual information. And sometimes investigators, and you spend a lot of your time following up on leads that are just that. Someone's hanging out on Saturday night at a party. They hear someone say this, but they don't know who said it. So, you know, if someone out there does have information and they've heard someone say something and they're willing to give us that information, we'll be more than glad to take it. And we can be reached 24/7.
If you have any information about the disappearance of Brooklyn Farthing, please contact the Kentucky State Police at 859-623-2404 or toll free at 1-800-222-5555. You can send a message on Facebook through Missing Brooklyn Farthing, and there's also an email address where you can send tips, and that's findbrookky@gmail.com. Remember, there's a $14,000 reward currently available. At the time of her disappearance, Brooke was 5'1" tall, 105 pounds, with blonde hair and brown eyes. She was last seen wearing jeans and a gray FFA shirt, which stands for Future Farmers of America. And remember, she did not have shoes on when she disappeared. That brings us to the end of episode 71. I would like to thank Tasha and Detective Keaton for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. I kept pushing Brooke's episode back so that I could include Detective Keaton. I think his insight was helpful not only to understand Brooke's case a little better, but also the viewpoint of law enforcement in many other cases. If you would like to reach me, you can contact me through thevanishpodcast.com. I am also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I've been getting a lot of questions recently regarding how I choose which cases to feature on the show. I do have a suggestion form on the website, but I give priority to any family who reaches out to me, so those are the cases that you've been hearing for some time. A lot of these episodes actually start with a listener who follows a particular case and reaches out to the family on social media to suggest they contact me. So a big thanks to all of you for listening and sharing the show. Oh, and one more thing for you to check out. There's a new podcast. It's called Podcasts We Listen To. And there's also a Facebook group. It actually started as a Facebook group, and Jeremy, who started it, started his own podcast. He interviewed me for episode number 5 of that show, if you would like to check it out. All right, I will be back again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, this family, there's times they're going to get upset with every passing holiday, with every passing birthday, with every family get-together. There's times they're going to be upset. And I told them from the beginning, I know that this is going to be hard on this family, and you guys as a family need to pull together and be there for each other, because you guys are going to face different battles each day. I understand you'll get frustrated with me along the way, because I'm not going to be able to give you the answers that you may want that day, or the answers that you deserve. And I've always been upfront about that. I've always tried to remember that, you know, as an investigator, as a detective, you know, I look at this as that if that was my loved one, what would I want someone to be doing for me and telling me? And that's sort of the way I treat that. And talking to that family, you know, it's tough because they want answers and they look to me for those answers. And, you know, when I can't give those answers, that's hard as a detective anytime you investigate a crime like that. Even when it's not a missing persons, when you have a homicide and you can't tell the family what they need to know, or you can't give them the answers they want, they're going to blame someone. I've always been upfront with that family and said, listen, I know you're going to be upset at me at times because I'm not going to tell you what you want to know, or I'm not going to tell you exactly what I'm doing, because as an investigator, the worst thing you could do sometimes is let your stuff play out in the media and in the rumor mill. Sometimes you have to step back and process your case and look into everything as a whole. And that's exactly what we try to do on all of our cases, but especially this one.
We just feel as a family that somebody knows something, somebody's heard something. Even if it's a small bit of information, if you think that you've seen a vehicle turning off of this road that morning or something like that, any little piece of information like that could help. It could be the break that we need in finding her.
It's been a long road, and it's going to continue to be a long road until we get the answers that her family and that we expect to get. We work on it constantly, but I do appreciate your interest in it, and I wish you the best with your podcast.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.